Bible tonight. Would you please hold it up? Everybody's got their King James Bible. Just hold it up. Amen and amen, 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 amen. All right. Thank you. A lot of you have it. Some of you are like the old gunslingers. You're fast on the draw. Others of you are so slow you got shot three times. But anyway, we want to have that King James Bible. You know, Sunday school today, a lot of my Sunday school class didn't have their King James Bible. And we just went verse by verse through Acts chapter 10. And you'll get a blessing if you have your King James Bible and you go in it and get through it. All right. Amen and amen. You know, we've been doing a teaching series on Sunday night called Words for the Birds. Words for the Birds. And the word for the bird is shouted out is what?
Legalism.
That is a word for the birds. And we've been looking at that. And just by way of review, the Laodicean Christian school principal I mentioned talked to a fundamental Christian school principal. And he said to the fundamentalist, "Boy, your dress standards are very strict at your school. That's because you're a legalist." That's a word for the birds. The fundamentalist said, "Then I suppose you let your high school girls go to school in panties and a bra." The Laodicean principal said, "Of course not." Then the fundamentalist said, "Legalist, legalist, legalist, you have standards of dress. They're just a lot lower than our standards." I'm saying these kind of attacks against those that have higher standards of behavior is not legalism. It's a Laodicean era misuse of the biblical definition of legalism. We looked at the true definition of legalism, and it was hammered out at the very beginning of the New Testament church in the Jerusalem Council in the book of Acts, chapter number 15. There were people that were true legalists. They were called Judaizers, in that they wanted to take the Old Testament ceremonies and sacrificial law and put it upon New Testament church age believers. And in doing that, they wanted to require that for ultimate glorification or ultimate salvation. Their belief was not true. The ceremonies of animal sacrifices, listen carefully, Sabbath days, Sabbath feast days, and for instance, circumcision of the Mosaic law could never provide you with a finished salvation. Rather, these ceremonies were given temporarily to the Jews to point to the permanent sacrifice and salvation that we have through simple faith in Christ. Thus, we could call them shadows, and the Bible does call them shadows of the coming Messiah, but the finished work of Christ was the reality. That was the substance. Your shadow is not you. Amen. Your shadow goes before you. People can see it, but it's not you. And these ceremonies and sacrifices of the Old Testament Mosaic law were not the finished salvation of God. They were shadows. Christ finished the work. That's why in the New Testament, we already went over all this, but Colossians chapter 2, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat." That's food, by the way. Not just meat, but food. "Meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days, which were a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." So at the Jerusalem Council, the definition of legalism was hammered out as final salvation, that's glorification, by the way, and it requires, number one, faith in Christ as the true Messiah, plus the practices of the ceremonies of the law of Moses and the sacrificial law of Moses still carried out in order to have final salvation and truly be finally saved when Christ comes back. If you don't have that, you don't have final salvation. Acts 15:1 puts it this way, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Let me say it again. Legalism is faith in Christ plus works of the temporary Mosaic rituals in order to have your final salvation guaranteed. The law of Moses contained temporary ceremonies, animal sacrifices. They all foreshadowed the final sacrifice of the Messiah. But once Jesus came, he offered his body and blood on the cross. Those temporary sacrifices and ceremonies were finished once and for all. That is why the New Testament boldly declares in Colossians 2:17, it says, speaking of those temporary ceremonies of the Old Testament law that were temporary, it says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now you might say to me, well, Pastor, what about the moral law of God? Well, the moral law of Moses reflects the person of God, the attributes of God. That is not temporary. The moral law of God that reflects his attributes, he is immutable. And he says, I'm the Lord, I change not. The moral law of God that reveals God's attributes in the Old Testament, listen to me, under the Mosaic law and in the New Testament, under New Testament revelation, it does not change. The moral law has not passed away. It continues. Not so that we can be saved by the moral law of God, but as a standard of living our life. The standard. Think of that word, standard. And so when you look at that, how does the moral law of God come forth in your life? Once you're saved by faith in Jesus, it puts it this way, that the righteousness of the law, the morality of the law, might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, a lot of people like to say, oh, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But they then ignore the moral law of God. And they live contrary to the standards of the moral law of God. And they're yet claiming, oh, I'm spiritual. I have liberty because I am spiritual. Listen to me, that's not Christian liberty. Liberty is freedom from your flesh. Freedom from your corruptions. Freedom from worldliness. When is a train most free? When it's careening across a city and demolishing things because it got off the track? Or when the train is on the track? You see, that is antinomianism. And it's licentiousness. And the book of Jude condemns it. And any preacher worth his salt will condemn it. So, yes, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll lift up the Word of God. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will walk according to the Word of God and do what God wants you to do. So these are words for the birds when people that hold up the standards of the moral law are called legalists. Hogwash, you don't understand legalism. You don't understand the Bible. And so a couple of weeks ago, we taught on Sunday night the standard of God's moral law on nakedness. And I wonder if one of the men can tell me, nakedness, of course, is not having a stitch of clothing on, amen? Coming out with your birthday suit on, amen? How many know what your birthday suit is? That would be nakedness. But nakedness also, according, first of all, let's just look at two scriptures, Exodus 28, verse 40, and Isaiah 47, 2 and 3, gives us another definition of nakedness. Nakedness, one of the guys tell me, what is it according to those two scriptures? Is exposing what part of the body in Exodus 28, 40 and Isaiah 47, 2 and 3. One of the men, raise your hand if you know. Hurry up, let's get it. Nakedness is what? Exposing what? Thank you. Somebody's got it. Nobody out there's got it.
The thighs.
Yeah. The exposing of the thigh is nakedness. So any of you ladies that go out and expose your thighs with shorts on, anything that's above the knee, you're exposing your nakedness. And if a lady doesn't get it and she's married to a man, listen to the man and submit to the man. He'll tell you what nakedness is. And that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing. We have a lot of nakedness today going on. And it's not done. We looked at the New Testament and we looked at John 21, verse 7. We looked at the Apostle Peter, who was backslidden at the time, and we said that nakedness is to expose your bare belly. You know, I see a lot of these girls running around with their belly buttons showing and maybe putting something in the belly button and saying, boy, I'd like to show that off. You're showing off your nakedness. Right. And you should be ashamed of it. And not only that, but you show off your chest. That's nakedness, whether a guy or a girl. That's nakedness. And your bare back. In other words, keep your shirt on.
Yep.
It's nakedness. And so even when the people used to swim, the old-time bathing suits covered their nakedness. You look at it before the Laodicean era came. You look at the world in the Western culture. They did not expose nakedness. But we've lived in this Laodicean era, starting in the 20th century and in the 21st century, and you young people, you've grown up with it, you've seen it all over, and I'm telling you, it is against the Word of God. And it's got to stop. And you can't change people, but you can say, as for me and my house, those that live under my roof, we're going to serve the Lord. And so that is the Word of the living God. Now, I'm just saying tonight, we're going to look at, last week we looked at nakedness 2 weeks ago, what it is. Last week, we looked at if people just want to keep showing their nakedness, that doesn't stop you from God's standard of your eyes. Amen? And Job made a covenant with his eyes. And the Bible speaks of God's standard. And that's what we looked at last week. What is God's standard for your eyes and my eyes as we live in this world? Now tonight, I want to look at things that are companions of nakedness in your life. I'm talking about people that say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to God's standard of nakedness. I am going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to, well, listen, don't say that you're filled with the Holy Spirit then. Right. Don't say you're walking with God then. Right. Don't say I have liberty. No, that's not liberty. That's giving into your flesh. That's you being a carnal person.
Yep.
And so don't try to claim that because God says no, you're just full of soup. But tonight, there are companions in the Bible of nakedness. If you get into exposing your nakedness in your life, there's companions that go along with it. Now, I want to touch on about six of them tonight. Number one, the first companion of nakedness is drunkenness. Drunkenness. Drunkenness and nakedness go together like peanut butter and jelly. Go to Genesis chapter 9, and I'm going to read verse 21 through 24. You follow in your copy, the King James Bible. Here's what it says. And he, speaking of Noah, drank of the wine and was what, class? Drunken. And he was uncovered. Whoop, whoop, right there. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. By the way, you shouldn't see the nakedness of your father, Leviticus says. By the way, you shouldn't ever see the nakedness of your mother, Leviticus right. says. And that's the moral law of God. God hadn't changed on that.
Right.
And you shouldn't see the nakedness of your sister or of your brother.
Right.
You should not expose your nakedness. But anyway, Ham saw it. He saw the nakedness of his father who was drunk. And it says there, yeah, go on. Let's go on and continue. It says in verse 23, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not. their father's nakedness. Now, that's in Genesis, amen? We don't even have to get to Leviticus. That's in Genesis. And that's the way they did it, but Ham didn't do it. And here's what it says in verse 24. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had what? Done unto him. Along with nakedness came homosexual sodomy. How grievous. Nakedness is something you ought not to be involved in. But drinking alcohol, alcoholic beverages, will make you drunk. And that's against God. You know, I've preached on it. There are two kinds of wine in the Bible. There's unfermented wine, that's good wine, and there's fermented wine, that's bad wine. Some people say, well, why was Noah drinking fermented wine? I firmly believe he was a godly man. I don't believe that he planned to drink alcohol. Remember, this was right after the flood. He planted a vineyard. He had grapes, and he was not used to the climate after the flood, which corrupted things very quickly, and that those grapes turned into fermented hard grape juice, and he drank of it and got drunken, and I believe he was surprised by it. God says, don't look on the wine when it's alcoholic. Don't even look at it. Stay away from it. And the drinking of alcohol will lead to all kinds of nakedness. And that will be a shameful thing. And I'm just saying, we live in a culture right now where there's a lot of homosexual men, and they're exposing their nakedness to children across America. And a lot of parents in America who are liberals, they're going right along with it. And what a sad thing that is. I have heard many times, and you've heard it too, young ladies, young girls, maybe in college, a lot of times in college, sometimes in high school and college, and they go to these parties. And at these parties, they have kids that are there when their parents aren't there, and they have access to alcohol, and they drink the alcohol, and these kids get drunk. And then some girl will usually say, I was raped. What did you expect? I said, what did you expect? If you drink alcohol, especially if you're in a mixed group of guys and girls, you will get raped most likely. It happens all the time. You lose your ability to control the situation, and guys will take advantage of it. Haven't you ever heard of Rehypnol? Guys and girls drinking, and a guy will drop a date rape drug in the drink and take advantage of it. I'm just saying, there's nothing new. This is the truth. You get involved in alcoholism, you're going to make it very likely that you'll get involved in a sexual assault upon you. And you need to stay away from those kinds of things. And it will lead to your exposing your nakedness, because the inhibitions are gone. They're gone. And what a sad thing that is. I heard of somebody that was mentally impaired, and they were going out in public naked. And why did they do it? They were mentally impaired. That's why they did it. They didn't have the normal sense of shame to do that. But you know what? When you drink alcohol, it takes away your judgment. And you get impaired. And you do things you ought not to do. I know that's not popular in this culture to talk about it, but it is true. And it's true according to the Word of God. I'm going to preach the Word of God. I don't care about the culture. I care about the Scripture. Look at Genesis 19. Maybe you do. Genesis 19. And look at verse number 31 of Genesis 19. And I'll read it to you. And let's read right on through verse 36. You follow. It says, and the firstborn said unto the younger, our father's old, And there's not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we'll lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Here are two young ladies. God had judged the city in which they lived. You know the city of Sodom. These were daughters of Lot. The mother had been killed in God's judgment because she didn't go forward. She looked back to that city. And now it's just the father, and they're living up in a cave way up in the mountains. There are no young men. There's no opportunity to have children. So these girls are coming up with an idea how we can have children. We have no other way. And it says they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Nakedness, fornication, they go together. And that fornication can be between an unmarried man or woman. It may be between one that's married and someone that they're not married to. It may be fornication of a sodomite type or homosexual type. It may be fornication that we see here called incest. But I'm just saying, look at the Bible, the first book in the Bible. Here we already see two incidences of fornication, two incidents of nakedness. And one of the men tell me what is common to both of these situations, what is happening in both these situations that helps to cause it?
Alcohol.
Alcohol, drinking alcohol. Stay away from alcoholic beverages. Stay away from alcoholic parties. Amen. Stay away from that crowd that does that. And because if you hang around with that crowd, you will get involved in that kind of thing. Stay away from it if you're smart. And this is God's standard for avoiding nakedness, is stay away from drunkenness and stay away from alcohol. And you'll be delivered from that kind of thing. Now, I want to say there's a second thing that is a companion of nakedness. The first one is drunkenness. But what leads to nakedness? And keep in mind, when I'm saying nakedness, I'm not just talking about not having a stitch of clothing on. I am talking about exposing the thigh, which is nakedness. I'm talking about exposing the chest and the belly and the bare back, which is nakedness. And I'm saying alcohol will do that. But a second thing that will do that, listen to this, is pagan religions. Pagan religions will do that. Go with me and turn to Exodus chapter 32 now. Second book of the Bible, Exodus. And go with me to chapter 32. And I want to look at what exposes nakedness in Exodus and chapter 32. And let's look at the first six verses of Exodus and 32. I'll read, you follow. It says that when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us what? Make us what? Out loud. Make us what? Out loud. Gods. What's gods? That's pagan religion. There's only one God who created everything out of nothing, who's the God of the Bible. They have a pagan religion they want. All we want, gods. And which shall go before us? For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, or that means we know not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. By the way, what's he going to make? An idol. even worshiping the true God as the true God and using idols is paganism. By the way, the Roman Catholic Church, it's pagan. Idolatry. And that will lead to nakedness and fornication. And he says he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." So he's going to worship the true God, but he's going to use an idol. He's introducing pagan religion. Why? That's what the people wanted. So Aaron's going by what the people said. Boy, I think of Jack Hiles. Years ago, he went to the Chicagoland area and he said, "God, I want to bring the Bible down to the people and save the people and lift them up from sin and from the ghettos and get them out." And he went down there and did that. I think of another guy called Billy Hybels, not Jack Hiles, but Billy Hybels. He said, "I want to go and ask people what they don't like about church, and they don't like preaching. They'd rather have movies." They told him all the things they wanted, and he gave them what they wanted, and he had big crowds like Jack Hiles. The problem was Jack Hiles brought heaven down to the people and lifted them up. Hybels brought the people up and said, "This is what we're going to do to worship God." In other words, he had a paganism, and it brought the people down. It was not a good thing. And that's what was happening here. And so Aaron gave the people what they wanted. Look at verse 6. It says, "And they arose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Now, when Moses came on the scene, do you know what the Bible says here in Exodus 32? That Aaron had made the people what? Naked. In other words, Aaron was blamed because he was promoting the wrong kind of religion, the wrong kind of worship. And that led the people into nakedness. And Moses rebuked him for doing what he did. I'm just saying that pagan religion, liberal religion, leads to nakedness and immoral behavior. Now, there's another man named Solomon. And in 1 Kings 11, 1 and 4, King Solomon, it said, loved many strange wives. Now, by that, I mean when I say strange wives, they were foreign wives. And his wives turned away his heart after other gods. So, in other words, Solomon liked many foreign wives, but the problem with these wives were, listen, they had pagan religion. They didn't have the true faith. And so he loved his wives. Men will love their wives. A wife can have a great influence on a man. You can either help destroy your man or not. And these women helped to destroy Solomon's heart. They turned him away from God. And so he began to have idols for all of their gods from the different countries, from Egypt and all of the different countries that he married, Ammonites and so forth and so on. And so he did that. And here's what the Bible says about foreign wives and foreign women. God says, "I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel," Zephaniah 1:8. In other words, God says that when people have pagan gods, false gods, they then dress in strange apparel. That just means the apparel of the false religion, which, by the way, what kind of clothes are they? They're clothes that expose nakedness. So I'm just saying that pagan religion leads to nakedness. Now, I can tell you that that is true. You look at the American Indians, you know, the Native Americans. When the Europeans came over, they were under the influence of the gospel. Were they not under the influence of the Word of God? Their women were all dressed. Their men were dressed. They were fully clothed. But how about the American Indians? Oh, man, they were naked. They had pagan religion, and it led them to nakedness. You go to Africa before the gospel comes in, before the Word of God comes in, before missionary. You go to Hawaii and the Polynesian Islands before the Word of God, and what do you see? Bare chests on the women and the men. What do you see? The thighs exposed and nakedness everywhere. By the way, this is just extra, but all the gauging in the ears, the nose, it's all going back to pagan religion. And who's behind pagan religion? Evil spirits. I am saying nakedness is something that is prevalent today. And if we are to be the salt of the earth, we ought to hold up the standard. And people ought to see it. I remember we used to have a mansion, and we had standards of dress there, and our ladies that lived there, and the men in the area that had business, they would say, "We can always tell your ladies, they're dressed modestly." And they respected that. It's shameful. It's shameful. Women think, "Oh, I get attention when I flash my body," and all they get is abuse in the long run. They don't get respect. And you won't get respect. You might get attention, but you won't get respect. You know, flies gather around dog dirt. They get around dog dirt. And when you get that kind of attention, it's not good attention. I'm saying the companions of nakedness, number one, drunkenness. Number two, pagan false religion. Number three, rock music and dancing. Rock music and dancing. I think about two kinds of music. There's godly music and ungodly music. There's good music and bad music. And the rock music has been associated with evil spirits. And David played on a harp for Saul. And the Bible says the evil spirits that were on Saul, they pushed away from him because they were uncomfortable with David's music. But you take the music of the world, the rock music of the world that was brought in through Elvis Presley and others and became popular with the Beatles and other groups and has swept our country and overtaken our country. And now Christians are using that kind of rock music. And Frank Zappa, an early rocker, had it right. He said, "Rock music is sex, the big beat, go along with the rhythms of the body." These rock groups have groupies that follow them and give up their bodies to them, and it's very, very typical of the rock music crowd. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, he said that he was taken captive by lust of women, and he was caught in lust. It destroyed his life. It destroyed his marriage. And the king of rock died on the throne. Not the throne that you're thinking of. It was a porcelain throne. He died on the toilet, basically, from his bad lifestyle that he had lived due to rock music. There's a club called the 29 Club. Janis Joplin, many other rockers belong to that club. I'm just saying rock music leads to nakedness. There was a rock band in our church, and I remember when that rock band was in our church, there were supposed to be godly men in the rock band. And I remember the ladies saying, "You know what, I never looked at the guy like that before. But when I saw him playing the rock music, supposed to be Christian rock, I looked at him in a different way than I looked at. And it wasn't good. It wasn't good, let me tell you." I'm saying rock music goes along with nakedness, sexual immorality. There was a group called Striper. It was a rock group. They called themselves Striper. Striper because, you know, it says Jesus' stripes, by his stripes we are healed. This was not honoring to Jesus, let me tell you. And they played their rock music and they had some kind of Christian words to it. And the girls came and they were cheering and taking their underpants and throwing them on the stage as they cheered for Striper. And I had a rock group, Christian rockers, they told me, "Oh, we're going to play the rock music. And at halftime, people are going to come up to us and they're going to look up to us, and then we'll be able to tell them how to get saved. What a deception that is. I'm saying it will lead to nakedness. It will lead to fornication. It will lead to shame. It's bringing our nation down. And there are conservative politicians. Oh, there are good people in their politics, my friend. But they are still rockers. Some of them are in my generation. They believe in the Second Amendment, Jesse. They believe in all the good stuff. But listen, we're independent fundamental Baptists. And our standard is the Word of God. And we're going to preach it and live it. And that's the greatest hope for our nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach of any people. Listen, you have to make that decision. Am I going to go for the old paths, or am I going to say, no, I won't do that? There's a fourth thing that will lead to nakedness, and that is a companion of nakedness: inviting the influence and control of devils. Here's what the Bible says. In Luke chapter 8, verse 27, I'll read it. It says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him," speaking of Jesus, "there met Jesus out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear what? No clothes." Luke chapter 8, verse 27. The man met Jesus. Remember when Jesus came to Peter and he put on some clothes. The man met Jesus. He was naked. He wore no clothes. Why? Because he had devils that were possessing him for a long time. I'm saying the influence of devils will lead to people taking off their clothes. That's why devils are let in through occult practices, Ouija boards, and occult practices like astrology and all of that kind of stuff. Occult practices like talking to dead people through mediums and so forth. All of that is not of God and leads to the influence of devils in your life. Of course, we said rock and roll music, drugs, taking drugs, whether it's marijuana, cocaine, those all open the door to satanic influence and evil spirits, and that will lead a people that do that into nakedness. And a lot of these people that cut themselves, that is the same thing. And the Bible says in Acts 19, verse 16, these words about the evil spirit that was there when the sons of Sceva tried to get rid of that evil spirit. It said this: "The man with the evil spirit leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." I'm saying the influence and control of devils will lead to nakedness. I'm saying rock music and dancing will lead to nakedness. I'm saying pagan religion will lead to nakedness, and drunkenness, alcohol, will lead to nakedness. I want to say a fifth thing that will lead to nakedness, and hear me out, it's a lack of a strong man of God leading the church. That will lead to low standards and nakedness. A lack of a strong man of God leading the church. Here's what the Bible says. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." Have you noticed that there's a great attack on masculinity today? Have you noticed that attack? God didn't want women to be pastors of churches. He wanted men to be pastors of churches. God wanted men to lead. Women can help men. They can get behind a strong man. They can do a lot to help a man. But it is wrong for our churches not to be led by strong men, by a strong man of God over that church. Moses was that man. And he was gone for a little while, and they saw their opportunity, and they took advantage of that opportunity. And you know what? We're living in a day when women want to be pastors and deacons and so forth and so on, and take that away from the man. That will lead to nakedness. That will lead to a bringing down of standards that ought not to be. And, you know, we have a woman pastor up there. She has mixed nudity going on in her swimming pool there by the church. We're not having that here. Amen. We're not having it here. I'm just saying nakedness is encouraged by the lack of a strong man in the church. And now we have a thing called toxic masculinity. It's wrong to be masculine. There's an attack on the male hormone, testosterone. And many men do not have good levels of that because of what's going on chemically with our food. I do appreciate Robert Kennedy talking about food and these kind of things happening, because it's time that men are men again and women are women again. And let me just say, Jesus put it this way. He said, can you spoil a house unless you first what? Bind the strong man. Listen, don't let anybody bind the strong man. You be that strong man. And you stand for what's right and what's biblical. And I believe God backs that and God blesses that. He goes along with that. And so here's what it says. We've already read this, but let me just read this scripture. It says in Exodus 32 and verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Boy, I remember our church when I was first a pastor. I was just in my 30s. I was a young man. I had a lot of men that came out of Baptist Bible College. Baptist, where's the Bible? Now, where's the college? But anyway, these guys, they all were very smart. They thought they were very smart. They were very, and they didn't like my strong preaching. They didn't like a strong man leading the church. They said we should all be equal. Everybody ought to be equal in the church. And they had a group that one of the deacons started called the Men's Forum. The Men's Forum. And in that group, nobody had any authority over anybody else. It was all equal. We all had equal voice and everything was equal. And I showed up at the Men's Forum. And I began to talk. Every time they talked, I talked. And I said what I believed. And, you know, people don't like it when Donald Trump stands up and says what he believes. But God knows we do need a man to do something in this country in that realm. Anyway, I stood up and I talked, and the people got more and more upset about it and more upset about what I'm preaching. And finally, that men's forum wasn't enough. And one of the deacons told me, unless you stop preaching like you're preaching, you're going on vacation. You may come back and not have a job. And I said, God, you're in control. I came back. I kept preaching. And finally, all of them left the church at once. But I'm just saying to you, before that happened, when there was not strong leadership in the church, we would have a church picnic and women would come with short shorts and a halter top to the church picnic. They would come immodestly dressed. And what was the problem? The problem was a lack of a strong man with strong convictions leading the church. And that leads me to the last point tonight. What will lead to nakedness? What will lead to and be the companions of nakedness in your life? The last thing I want to say is backsliding will do it. If you get away from God and you get away from the Lord. And I have seen this happen over and over again. I was talking to somebody this week and I said, you know what? I don't have to make a whole lot of decisions in my life. I let my convictions make decisions for me. In other words, if my employer tells me, you're going to lose your job if you don't go to church on Sunday, I just keep going to church on Sunday. In other words, if you pray, you're going to get arrested like Daniel. He opened his window. He kept praying. He let his convictions make his decision. But some people today, and perhaps you could be one of them, you need to have a spine, not a noodle on your spine. But these people today, they will simply let pressure decide their what they're going to stand for. Listen, you need to have principles. And if you have Jesus as your Savior, He will help you to live by, listen to me, principle and not pressure. Pressure from people, pressure from family, pressure from work, pressure from the world. The Bible says don't let the world squeeze you with its pressure into adopting yourself like a chameleon Christian, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you live for God. And so I'm just saying that that backsliding away from church, listen to me, away from church, away from preaching, that's not a good thing. There are a lot of people that are not here tonight. They could be here. Perhaps people weren't here this morning that could be here.
Right.
I'm just saying backsliding starts and you begin to forsake the assembly of yourself together as the manner of some is. And the more you do it, the more it becomes a manner. That means a habit in your life. And you have a message that you need to hear from the Spirit of God to keep you from backsliding away from God's Word. By the way, you need to keep reading your Bible, praying every day, walking with God every day, witnessing for Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that, you will backslide. And just like the Apostle Peter, when he backslid, he was out fishing, he influenced others, and he was naked in his dress. I don't know about you, but all my life I've known I've needed the man of God and the preaching of the Word of God to help me to stay close to God and not to backslide. So I just want to say tonight that legalism, word for the birds, so often as used today, and that nakedness is something in your life that goes along with drinking alcohol, goes along with liberal false religion, pagan religion, goes along with rock music and dancing, goes along with inviting the influence of devils over your life, goes along with a lack of strong men of God in the church and a strong pastor of the church, and finally goes along with backsliding away from God, away from His Word, away from the church. You need to recognize what will lead to nakedness, what will lead to shame in your life and in your family, and determine tonight, you know what, I'm going to stay with those things that will keep me from the shame of nakedness and what it can do to destroy my life. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We've been talking about companions of nakedness.